God for that grace. Wonderful, absolutely amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, without it, where would we be? Seriously. And brethren, the same grace that God extends to us, He expects us to have always with one another. And He's got it sufficient. You know, we got to get the supply from it. Because our supply runs low, but brethren, He's got it. He's got it to give to us if we'll appropriate it from Him. Deuteronomy 16, brethren, and we're going to look this morning, Deuteronomy 16, verse number 18. Deuteronomy 16, 18. Again, Moses talking to Israel, so they're getting ready to go in. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thank you, Father, again for your word. Please teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us this morning. Father, we do implore thee and ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 18, the Lord brings up the position that Israel would implement once they got into the land of promise. And that was that of judges and officers. Okay? Judges and officers. Moses says, by the Lord, judges and officers shalt thou make in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. I want you to notice this right here. These judges and these officers, they were to be appointed by the people. Look what it says. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates. Now here's why it's important to notice that. It's important to notice it because it's going to help explain, I believe, concerning that aberration that took place concerning Deborah. She was a judge of Israel, but she was a female judge. So how did that work out? Because we know, and we know that a judge in the Bible was not the same as a New Testament pastor, but yet we know in the New Testament, women are not allowed to preach and to teach men. They can teach with children. Because Timothy learned, you know, his grandmother, his mother, they can teach other women. We know that, the Bible says, but not to usurp the authority over the man. So how does that take place? How could Deborah be a judge in Israel? Well, I think one of the ways that we're going to be able to take and figure some of this out is, first of all, you notice that they were to make the judges and officers. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. All right? So the people made these judges. And first of all, now keep that in mind. Keep that in the back of your head a minute. First of all, it appears that the Lord expected the judges to be men. Go to Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25. Ladies, the devil is doing everything he can to destroy the fabric of society and destroy the home, and he does it by trying to get ladies to get out of their place. Now, that's just the truth. And it's sad, brethren, because when you try to bring up these principles today, even so many churches are compromised, who should know better, that such doctrines are looked at as like, well, they'll throw names on you, like chauvinistic or this and that and the other. And it's just Bible. Listen, nowhere is it saying that a man is better than a woman or a woman better than a man. It's different roles. All this is a matter of different roles. God has a specific role for a man. God has a specific role for a woman. God has roles for children and the home. So there are different roles and responsibilities. And when that is set up and works, there can be peace and harmony. But then the devil knows that, so he tries to mess up those roles. How does he work? The Bible says he's subtle, right? He's subtle. And we saw a commercial the other day, and I said, honey, did you notice that? I said, did you notice that commercial? Because in the commercial, and I can't remember what they were selling. Brethren, sometimes you're sitting there looking at products today, and you're going, what does that have to do with a can of beans? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Honestly, sometimes you're going, are you serious? You went that far around and come in the back door to sell deodorant? Are you serious? I mean, it's wild, man, where that stuff goes. But anyway, I can't remember what they were selling. But anyway, there's this young couple, right? And they're hiking, you know, through the woods and going up some cliffs and all. And the woman is in the lead, man. She is in the lead. She's got this smile on her face. And he's kind of coming up behind, you know, and she's all. And I was like, honey, look at that. Oh, brother, no, come on, man. Come on. When you go out hiking or doing stuff, you're going to tell me your wife's in the lead of things? That she's the one? That she's the one? I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying, y'all. Come on, huh? That's not the way there it goes, you know. That's not the way. I'm not saying that every time. Don't go out of here going, oh, honey, great. Preacher's coming. Get in front of me! You know. Or get behind me, rather. Get behind me, yeah. Get behind me. Here comes the preacher. No, I'm not saying that at all. If you ever see us walking down the road, you won't miss us. Our reflective vest, you won't miss us. Brad sees us when he's going to work, right? Brad can't miss us, right? But when you see me and Sarah going down the road, you know, you'll probably wonder, there's a specific way we do things. You say, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm serious. Look, first of all, I try to walk closer to the traffic. So if somebody gets hit, I'm the one who gets hit. You know, now we'll see. I might tell her. So I'm the one who gets hit. Hey, when traffic's coming behind, I'll try to step behind. You know, just and when traffic's coming ahead, I'll step in front of her. And I'll just try. And that's kind of. So if you're ever seeing us do this little, you say, what are they doing? But I'm just saying, you know, there should be, guys, a mindset for us that, and however we work it out, but it should be that we're always thinking of our wife and putting ourselves in. But in that commercial, right, she is the center. A lot of times, a lot of commercials you'll see, really, they'll have this. Have you ever seen a commercial and you're like, why did they put these two together? Because she's looking all, she's got this certain look, and honestly, he looks like he don't know his head from hole in the ground. And all commercials are like that, right? Brethren, there's this move to exalt womanhood and make men feel bad for being a... Who's behind that? I'll tell you, the devil's behind it. He's behind it. He's working subtly through these individuals that don't even know that they're being manipulated to do this stuff because he hates what God has established. There can be peace and order when things are done God's way, but outside of doing it God's way, it can't work. It can't work. There's no way. All right? So God set up roles. And the devil hates those roles and those responsibilities. I mean, come on, brethren. Ladies, you are designed to bear a baby. You're designed to feed a baby. I think we just scared our new couple here half to death. You could have seen the look on Sharon's face. No. But ladies, you are. You're designed for that. You're designed to bear them. You're designed to feed them. I mean, really. So there's all kinds of these roles, these responsibilities. You can't get away from that. And the devil knows that. And that's why he tries to turn it upside down on its head. Okay? But God expected, from what we can tell, for the judges to be men. Look at Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judges shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face. Meaning the judge's face. Didn't say before her face, didn't say before it be beat before his face according to his fault by a certain number. 40 stripes he, meaning the judge, may give him and not exceed. Lest if he, meaning the judge, should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. All right, so it's as if the Lord expected, it's just an assumption here, that the judges are going to be men. And again, someone would say, well, what about Deborah? Well, wait a minute. The Bible doesn't say that God put her in that position. Did you know that? The Bible never says that God put her in that position. Never says that. In Deuteronomy 16, the people were to appoint judges. The people were to appoint judges. You will notice in the book of Judges a phrase used, Israel went, they would go into rebellion and the Lord raised up a deliverer who became a judge. The Lord raised up a deliverer. It says it, I think, about Ehud. It says it about, never says it about Deborah. Never says God raised her up. Never said God appointed her. And by the way, the Lord mentions the people appointing these judges. What kind of time was it? What kind of time was going on in Israel during the time of the judges? Well, go to Judges 21. Go to Judges 21. So if anyone ever tries to say, well, see, there's Deborah. Well, first of all, an Old Testament judge was not a New Testament pastor or deacon. But even at that, you don't see that God appointed her judge. You don't see that God appointed her to be judge. If she got appointed, men did it, not God. Not God. The Bible never says God. The Bible says about other deliverers and judges, God raised them up. Never says about Deborah. And even Deborah herself, you get Judges 21 first, verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And by the way, you get the impression from Deborah that from what we can tell in Scripture, again, God didn't put her in that position. Evidently, man did. But even at that, she didn't try to take advantage of it. Because she told Barak to, you know, she prophesied until, and Barak said, you got to go with me. She didn't want to go. She didn't want to lead in that thing. And when she said, okay, but God's going to give the honor of this to a woman. And you know, Jael went and you know. So what I'm saying is, brethren, be careful about that thing where people try to justify women pastors or women teachers or women deacons by Deborah the prophetess. No, 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 no. You got nothing in your Bible that tells you that God appointed her, God put her in that position. None at all. It seems that God expected it to be men and the people. If there was any appointing, it seems the people appointed her. All right. Now, notice about these judges. Go back to Deuteronomy 16. Notice that verse 19. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift or gift of the blind. The eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So notice that these judges, okay, these judges were to exercise righteous judgment. But before I get to that, I want to piggyback back again just a minute. Notice this thing about roles and responsibilities. I mean, I know we know it. We've already touched on it a moment. But go back. Go to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. Ladies, listen to me. You are not a man. Don't try to be one. When you get married, don't try to be the man of the marriage. Young girls, you remember that. All right? That's not your place. It's not your place. God made that woman to be a help to the man. He's the lead. You say, well, Brother Doss, what if my husband don't lead? Well, you keep your mouth shut and you pray. You keep your mouth quiet and you pray. And you do right by God. Ladies, listen to me. Don't you tell your husband he needs to read his Bible. Don't you tell your husband he needs to be in church. Don't you tell your husband he needs to be praying. Don't you tell your husband what he needs to be doing. That's not your place. If you want to pull aside somewhere and have a conversation, and y'all were having a conversation, say, honey, I've just been kind of burdened. Can I talk to you? Talk's fine. But it's not your place to tell that man what he needs to do or what he's not doing. Now, if you want to try it the hard way and find out that I've told you the truth, try it. Try it. Dear sisters, young ladies, young girls, you are to be his wife, not his mother. You understand? You are to be his wife. You are not to be his mother. You are not to try to spur him on. I told my wife one time, I said, honey, did you know a lot of Christian women today don't realize it, but they act like a spiritual Eleanor Roosevelt's? I don't know if anybody here would want that label. If you know anything about that woman, I don't think anybody here would want to be labeled that. But Eleanor Roosevelt absolutely prodded him, and she just, that man's life was miserable. He didn't know anything about her. Now, he messed up. Franklin messed up. He had stepped out on her after they'd been married for a while. Okay, he did wrong. But she went, and she even admitted, I was a spur to Franklin. He probably didn't want it at times. No doubt he didn't want it. It was so bad, her children finally ended up seeing it, and toward the end of his life would help bring some of his old female friends around just to spend some time with him, just so he could have somebody nice around him. That wasn't right, but they knew what he was going through. What it was, she was going to prod him. She was going to be his conscience. She was going to be the one to help him get to the level she felt like he needed to be.
Amen.
And if you do that, then you have the same... Listen, you're just a spiritual Eleanor Roosevelt. And you don't want that tag. Ladies, don't do that. Don't do it. Don't ever do it. Because it will not work. It'll have the opposite effect. Pray. Set an example by living a holy life yourself. When you can have conversation and something's a burden to you, okay, express that and talk about that. That's fine. Don't tell him what he isn't or what you think he isn't. Whatever it may be your opinion, it's not your place to be telling it. Don't tell him what he ought to be doing. That Bible says you're to be a help. A help. A help. You know one of the greatest helps a man needs sometimes? I mentioned sometimes an arm slipped through. I love you. I love you. Praying for you. Praying for you. My goodness. After he dries his tears, because of the blessing it is to him, that'll help and spur, and that's the right kind of spur. You understand what I'm saying? Sisters and young girls, please. And young girls, I've told you before, you've heard it from this pulpit. Do not ever get married because you see potential of what that man can be. If you can only get behind him and push him and make him into something, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because did you realize what happens when you do that? You may think that I'm submissive to him. But see, no, you're planning the you're charting the plan. You're charting the plan. You're in control, or you're trying to be, but you're doing it under the radar when you do that. You're doing it under the radar. Don't do it. It's not going to work. He'll either get enraged or he'll deflate. He'll either get enraged or he'll just deflate and just kind of be there. And I'm serious. I want to help you. And the devil knows this. And that's why he tries to do everything he can to turn this kind of thing upside down on its head. You understand? Know your role. Listen, when you find yourself a husband, when you find yourself a wife, what I mean is when you find yourself all of a sudden one day, I am a husband. You know, you can go through a ceremony, but what happens is a couple months, about a month or so later, whatever, you're like, I'm a husband. And the ceremony's gone and this and another, but all of a sudden you're like, hey, day I'm a wife. Hey, okay. And I'm a, you know, what do you do at that point? Let me tell you what'll work. It's not a Western way of looking at it, but it's a Bible way. Here's what you do. You open up that book and you say, well, now here's some things I know. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Number two, I know that I'm a husband. Or number two, I know I'm a wife. And so then you go and like, okay, that's the book. That's the Word of God. So what does that book say I'm supposed to be as a husband? More so than to her, to God. Be that man. What does that book say that I'm supposed to be as a wife? Then be that. More so to him, to God. You children in this room. Okay, look here. If you're saved, or even if you're not saved, you believe the Bible's the Word of God, right? I don't think there's any child in this room, you believe the Bible's the Word of God. I hope you do. Find out what you believe about the Bible. But if you believe the Bible's the Word of God, if you believe the Bible's the Word of God, then listen, have you ever stopped and said, What does the Bible say I'm supposed to be as a child in my parents' house? I mean, really. We're not even going to go the route whether you profess salvation or don't. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe it's the Word of God? Do you believe it's, you know, the Word of God? If you don't believe that, you need to find out what you believe about it. But if you believe that, then what does the Bible... Because there's a lot of... Listen, Proverbs was written to people who weren't born again. New birth don't take place after the cross. So there are things in the New Testament about our roles. What does the Bible say? And then do those things. The devil hates it. You know what he's always going to try to get you and me to do? He's going to always try to get you and me to act in a manner that is based on what we feel is right. What we feel is right. What we feel. And he'll have us. At that point, he's got us. We played right into his hands. What does the Bible say? Listen, I touched on it a minute this morning, but it's something I can't escape from. I cannot escape from it. It's like it's consumed my thinking in the sense of the Lord's just had me bird dog in this thought process. This morning I thought, this week earlier, I thought about this thing about, you know, judges, right? Judges. Because judges were to take and exercise just judgment. Have you not known of people since you've been saved, and maybe in your own life have experienced this? Maybe the thought has crossed your mind, or maybe you have known people where the thought has crossed the mind. Why doesn't God look down and judge this matter and do something? Now, have you ever? I've had lost people ask me that question. I've had saved people ask me that question. I've had all kinds of people ask me that question. Why doesn't God look down and judge this thing and do something? Because now if God expects righteous judgment by his judges, and he did. Well, Abraham said about God, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Meaning, well, he will. So why does God not... But that thought has surely it's crossed your mind at some time. I think all of us it crosses. Why didn't God do something? I mean, he's God. He's got to see this. Why doesn't he do something? All right, listen. When it's a matter beyond your personal control, all you can do is just go something like, God, I guess you see things I don't, and that's your, you know. But when it involves your, where you have a personal part in the thing, where there's a part you can play, you have a personal interest in the thing, then here's what we have to do. Brother, we got to do something at that point that's not easy to do. At that point, we've got to look and say, could it be that I am not allowing God to do anything because I'm getting in the way? Brother, look here. I had a situation. I had to text somebody one time. Boy, you say some things you don't like to have to say, but you have to because you care and you love. Brother, so often the reason God, again, doesn't, and I touched on it this morning in Sunday school, but again today, the reason sometimes God doesn't do anything, brethren, we don't allow him to. We get in the way. Brethren, if you and I handle something and we take a matters ourselves, then we're not. If we handle something in a way that is especially contrary to Scripture, when we take upon ourselves an authority, an attitude, or a role, or a place that is something Scripture hasn't given us, you're in the way. And it's as, you've heard me say it before, but I'm telling you, brethren, so often, it's as if you're telling the Lord, it's as if the Lord says to you, well, I see you've got it. I see you've got this. Go ahead, handle it. You got it. And brethren, also, we don't look at ourselves. We don't look at ourselves. Man, that book says in Galatians 6, when there's a brother out of the way, the Bible says you're to go to him, but examine your own selves. You got to look at yourself always in any kind of situation. You got to examine and look at self. So, brother, if you ever wonder, why didn't God do something? Well, could it be that you're the reason That's a hard one to swallow. It's one we don't want to look at. It's one we don't want to face. Brethren, you know what? Did you know we get a spiritual comfort zone of where we're kind of comfortable about even wrong in our life? Brethren, we get to a place sometimes to where we feel like, well, I know I got problems in that area, but I'm aware of it, and I got it. But brethren, outside of that zone, we don't want anybody showing us any problem we got. We don't want God or anybody showing us any problem we got outside of our spiritual comfort zone. We don't mind something I am wrong about, but I'm comfortable about my wrong about it. Hey, I acknowledge it. I know it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Man, you step out of that. It's like, what? I mean, have y'all experienced it? I mean, hey, amen. You know what I'm saying? You've got to be honest, you know? That's a rough thing. But, brethren, we've got to be able to let God, by His Word, help us. We'll retard our growth. We'll hit a place of... I told you before, brethren, it was such a blessing. My daddy had been saved over 50, going on maybe... It's over 50 years, and I saw him in his 70s stand up in church and weep because some things God had been dealing with him about, just tweaking his life. Well, that's a blessing. Man, that's just a blessing. I just appreciate him so much, his honesty. Yeah, and let me tell you something. Well, I respect him so much about. I didn't know. I'm his son, but I didn't know God was dealing about anything. I was the one preaching. You know, to stand up with your son there and weep and say, well, some things I ain't been had right, and I got to get, you know, that was a blessing. I'm just saying, but we never stop growing. But we will, but we'll hit a wall if attitude. So remember that. 1 Timothy 2, look at verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Thou suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man to be in silence. Sisters, did you know something? If you were born in the 20th century, you have been raised under an attitude and a spirit. When you were in school, you saw it on television, you read it in books. Sadly, it even started permeating through churches. You came up under an attitude of like to recoil against that. You've come up with a spirit of the age that says, what? Am I a doormat? Am I this? God never has you like that kind of way. But that's the kind of thing to where you read something like this, there's to be a recoil against it. It's not saying in any way, shape, or form that you don't have a spiritual nature to you, or you don't have a brain. I think any man in this room that's got any sense about him at all values the sense of his wife and talks to her, confides to her, and appreciates the insight she can give him in the right way. I believe every man in this room has got any sense is like that. All right? And knows to feed the spiritual. Listen, brethren, the attitude that says that a wife's place is only to birth children and never develop spiritually, that's foreign to Scripture.
That's right.
I'm afraid some of my independent Baptist brethren think that a woman's done her job, man, when she spit out children. But listen, she gets born again too, right? She has the Holy Ghost too. Listen, she's got to be nurtured spiritually too. All right? And we're supposed to have a part of that. Okay, but there's a role. But she's not to be in a leadership role. She's not to be in a leadership role. That's out of God didn't set her up for that. And sisters, if you kick against that, then you didn't pick that up from the Holy Spirit. You picked that up from the spirit of this world. I mean, really, seriously, all right? And sisters, that's why. Listen, and you young girls. You know who we wanted her to marry? A saved man that she chose to marry and that she liked being with. That's who we wanted to marry. A saved man that she enjoyed being with. Young girls, I would counsel you the same way. And young girls, always remember that it's not your place to make a missionary out of him. Make a preacher out of him. or even make him spiritual, period. It's not your place. You need to feel like he's saved. Okay, that's baseline. But then, you like him? You like him? You like being with him? Enjoy his company? Or do you feel like that he won't, there's not enough shine on him to reflect on you to make you look good in the sight of others spiritually? I don't know now. Like being with him? That's pretty good. That's a pretty good one right there. Since marriage is supposed to be two people for life, that's a pretty good one right there. Getting along, liking to be with just company. That'll go pretty far. That'll go pretty far. Be careful about it. Be careful about it. You're not his mom. You're not his project. Be his wife. Be his wife. And fellas, look here. You're to give honor unto her as unto the weaker vessel, and treat her right, and love her, and give her attention, and be like a protector. You know all those things. Find out what the book says about it. But be careful. Be careful how you go into that thing. Know your place. Know your role. All right, look here. Again, the judges, they weren't to be women. They weren't to be, from what we can see, how the thing was set up. Go real quick to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. Brethren, all I can do is take the scriptures, go over them. It's up to you what you're going to do with them, but there's got to be some honesty. 1 Peter 3, look at verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, what does conversation mean? Well, in the dictionary, conversation means your whole manner of life. We take conversation as just being talk. No. In the Bible and in the dictionary, conversation is how you live. It's your whole manner of life. So what does a woman do here if she's got a husband that doesn't do right? Why, she gets on his case. No, sir. No, she doesn't. It's going, like I said, he's either going to kick against it or he's going to deflate. He will be a zombie walking around. And it'll be like, he doesn't give me attention. I'm unfulfilled. You killed it. Killed it. You kill it. Shoot, y'all. They've done studies. It's the truth. They found it in birds. And you know, a domineering woman will cause a man's testosterone to go. So it's catch 22. Then he can't be quite what he needs to be, or supposed to be, or wants to be. And she wants it, but yet she's killing it. By what? Being out of order. Wrong place. Listen. So what do you do? Husband's not like he's supposed to be. You win them by your conversation, by your manner of life. Isn't that something? Why, if you don't know what words mean, can't you get yourself in a mess? Because how many wives try to win their husbands by their conversation, meaning their mouth? And it don't work. But when you know what conversation means in the biblical sense, meaning your manner of life, that works. You understand? While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting in the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on apparel. In other words, what he's talking about, not emphasizing the external, but the internal. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. May I say something? Dear sisters, or anyone that will listen here this on recording, what goes through your mind when you hear the words meek and quiet spirit? Does the thought go through your mind? Sure, men love that. Men love that. They love that. Can't you see and understand that any man that would take advantage of that better look out? Any man that would take advantage of a woman's meek and quiet spirit to be tyrannical or to be abusive with that, he better watch out. Well, Brother Doss, I tell you what, I came up in a certain way and hard. I had to look out for myself. I know my grandma did. I understand that kind of thing. But what does the book say? You can't justify your actions based on the past when it goes against the Scripture. You cannot justify the way that you are or the way that you have a tendency to be or a temptation to be. We understand. You cannot justify that based on your past when the Word of God says different. Do you understand that? And the Bible says an ornament of a what? Meek and quiet spirit. What are we going to do about that? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Austin, there's scriptures that say other things. Well, yes, man, indeed there are, but this is where we're at right now. And this is the verse we're looking at right now. Meek and quiet. And if the world doesn't value it, and the world doesn't. And if even others don't value it, but there's one entity that values it above all, and that's all that matters. God. God. In the sight of God, that is of great price. Can you imagine? So God looks down. I'm just being honest. God looks down. And he sees brazen, bossy, loud. He's displeased. But he sees someone with a meek and quiet spirit. And the Lord says, value. Value right there. Value. I don't know. We're not told a whole lot about Mary, but something must have got the Lord's attention. Something must have got the Lord's attention. Yeah. Hail thou that highly favored. Something got the Lord's attention. What kind of things get his attention? Well, I know this. And a woman, meek and quiet spirit. You know, Esther got the attention of Haggai. She was submissive. She had submitted to Mordecai. I just bet. Mary was awful submissive to her parents. I just believe we could safely say that. She was highly favored. She got the Lord's eye on that thing. Meek and quiet. Meek and quiet. Look what it says in verse 5. For after this manner in the old time. That tickles me, don't it, you? When the Bible can say, you know, 2,000 years ago, now in old days. That just tickles me, right? But for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, not afraid with any amazement. If you'll go to your Bible and look, she called him Lord in her heart. That's where this is taken from is Genesis 18. She was in the tent door. And she heard the Lord say that he's going to give Sarah a child. She was going to have a child. And your Bible says, you can check it out. Your Bible says Sarah laughed within herself. She laughed within herself. She didn't laugh out loud. But God heard it. And gentlemen, as far as responsibilities, guess what the Lord said? He didn't say to Sarah, he said to Abraham, why did she laugh? Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Can you imagine Abraham? Lord, you got good hearing. But I didn't hear nothing. Well, she didn't do that. She did it within herself. But God held him accountable. We are accountable for our families. We're accountable for our wives. Notice this, though. Not where anybody could hear it. She wasn't trying to show off. In her heart, she called him Lord. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Her attitude in her heart was toward Abraham, that's my Lord. She didn't say it out loud. In other words, like she wasn't trying to put on a show. Oh, welcome, Lord and two angels. Welcome, you visitors. And this is my Lord Abraham, my husband. She didn't say that out loud. It wasn't a show. It was her heart. That was her heart. It's my Lord. Sarah is set up as an example. You know what she did on more than one occasion? I don't think she necessarily had to do that because I don't believe the Bible calls a woman to sin in obeying her husband. But that woman lied twice for him and said she was his sister when she was his wife. Wow. Now she's held up as an example. Sisters, if your husband asks you to do something, as long as it ain't against Scripture and is not wrong, you got no justification to not do that. You understand? So I don't understand it. I don't like it. Well, that's all in life. Under authority, we're all going to have those kind of situations. We're always going to have those kind of situations. As long as he's not telling you, I mean, and the woman that's lifted up as an example, she even lied for that. I'm not saying she had to do that, but she did. And so definitely, if you're not being told to do wrong, wow. She's lifted up as an example as the holy women. The holy women. She's lifted up those old-time holy women. You know what he did? And it's hard for us to grasp. He went to him, when they left Ur of the Chaldees, he said, look, you a pretty thing. And where we go, they're liable to set their eye on you and kill me for you. Will you just tell them you're my sister?
Bring me out from where our home. We leave everything. They will be lying. You don't care about me. Won't you stand up and be the man?
She did it. Did it. I didn't say she necessarily had to because it was lying, but as long as she shouldn't have got rebellious about it, but she did it. Twice. And she's held up an example in Scripture of a holy woman being a wife that's supposed to be. And that's which is another amazing thing. Isn't it amazing? Abraham could leave Ur of the Chaldees and trust God and step out, yet he couldn't have faith that God would look after and keep his wife for him. It's just, when we look at him, we're looking at ourselves. We're looking at ourselves. But she's held up as that kind of example. Sisters, I bring that up to you because you've got to understand and know the enemy's doing all he can to destroy homes and lives. Because let me tell you something. Home goes down, husband's going down, leadership's going down, church is going down. You understand? So he knows where to do it. Who did he hit? Who did he make his move on? Eve. Who did he make his move on to mess with Joseph? Potiphar's wife. Samson. It's always been that way. All right? So look, know the role, know the responsibility. Ask yourself, do you have a meek and quiet spirit? I don't know. And listen, you're not answerable to me. You're not answerable to me. All I'm doing is asking you. And if you could honestly say, no, I don't know if I do, or I could use some work here. Tell the Lord that. And ask Him to help. Everything I've ever asked the Lord to help me with, I've seen Him help me with. All right, real quick. Just real quick. Notice their duties were to exercise righteous judgment. They were not to wrest judgment. You know what the word wrest means? It's similar to wrestling. It means to turn from truth or twist. To distort, to twist from its natural meaning by violence. So they're not to twist things out of context. That's one of the frustrating things today in our judicial system, huh? You got lawyers and stuff who just taken like, oh man, they make pretzels out of things, right? They just, you know, no offense to lawyers, Rick. No offense to lawyers. But you know what I'm saying? I think because Rick gets frustrated at that very thing himself. He was talking to me about it the other day. But they twist things. They twist principles. They twist the Constitution. They twist things. And the Bible says men would wrest the Scriptures. Just to, pretzel it up and do with it what they want. So these judges, they're not to twist things out of context. Go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. Right, one other thing real quick. I mentioned about somebody says, why doesn't God look and judge this thing? Why doesn't God? All right, I want to ask you something. I can understand sometimes when we may have a question of like, why didn't God do something? Why didn't God step in? We've got to examine and look ourselves. But look, if you ever find yourself inside with this attitude, why don't God get them? Do you want God to get somebody? Is there somebody you want God to get? I think there's a problem. If there's somebody we want God to get, if we're sitting back with bated breath waiting for God to get them, He might just get you too. In the Bible, God got people. And he got others associated who didn't think he was going to get got to at times. Now, I'm serious. Brethren, look here. I've heard some preachers talk about folks in Islamic countries or other things, and preachers now, talking about how they deserve hell and it didn't bother them. And it's like, you're missing it, man. You're missing it. You're getting more political than you are seeing the souls of men. Seriously, that's a fact. Outside of Jesus Christ, come on, folks. It's any of us. Huh? Outside of the Lord. Be careful about somebody going, Lord, get them. That very thing speaks of something amiss. All right, look here. 2 Peter 3, verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things, and which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own destruction. Can I point some out to you? Resting of scripture and judgment. When someone rests scripture, or when they rest judgment, it comes from either ignorance, instability, or a self-centered desire to want things the way you want them. You understand? When you rest judgment, or you rest scripture, it either comes from ignorance, says they that are unlearned. That's just ignorance, unlearned. And unstable. Instability will cause it. And then sometimes just a self-centered desire to want things the way you want them. Whatever the motive, the result is the same. Destruction. Brother, that judge was not to have respect of persons. Go to Exodus 23 real quick. Exodus 23. Exodus 23. And verse 2. Exodus 23, verse 2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to rest. There's that word again, rest judgment. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. Brethren, if a rich man's innocent and a poor man's guilty, then that's what it is. And if a rich man's guilty and a poor man's innocent, then there it is. You can't let such considerations enter in when it comes to right and wrong, guilt or innocence. Go to James chapter 2 real quick. James chapter 2 real quick. Verse 1. James 2 verse 1. James 2 verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves? And are become judges of evil thoughts. So the judge was not to have respect of persons, and neither should we. He was not to take a gift. A gift in the dictionary is defined as, you know, which we know, a bribe. Anything given with a purpose of corrupting the judgment. The key to preventing this is to not be covetous. Go to Micah 7. Micah 7. The prevention for that, the preventative, is to slay covetousness. Micah 7, and verse 3. That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. It's always going on. Corruption. Payoff. Bribery. All right, go to Luke 12. Luke 12. Luke 12. Verse 15. Again, the preventative for that thing is to slay covetousness in the heart. Luke 12:15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. When you can die out to that, then you can die out to the chance of being influenced by bribery. All right? So, last thing. Go back to Deuteronomy 16. Last thing. Deuteronomy 16. Verse 19, thou shalt not wrest judgment, and thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise, and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Okay, so the judge was to judge righteously, and the one judged was to submit to righteous judgment. Go to Deuteronomy 17, verse 8. So the judge was to judge righteously. The one judged was to submit to it. Deuteronomy 17, verse 8. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, between matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and get thee up into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judges that shall be in those days, and inquire. And they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. And thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place which the Lord shall choose shall show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee. And according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee to the right hand nor to the left. And the man that will do presumptuously, and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away evil from Israel. Judges were to judge uprightly and righteously. Those under that judgment were to submit to it. Look here. Let me ask you. Do you want things, and I don't know, but if you are in a situation, it may be in your marriage, it may be in your home, it may be at work, it may be whatever. But if you've got something, listen, if you've got a situation that you want to go better than it's going now, then maybe, I don't know, but maybe you need to quit trying to do it your way. Learn to submit to the Scripture and scriptural principles, and not just when it suits what you think or want. And another little nugget for that kind of thing is this. As long as you always concentrate on what somebody else needs or the help that they need from God, you're never going to have any peace. If you're always looking at where they need to get right at, and where they need to be a better husband, or they need to be a better wife, or they need to be a better parent, they need to be a better child, they need to be a better... If that's going to be your focus, you're never going to get out of the rut you're in. The way to rise above that is say, Lord, just help me to be everything that book says that I'm to be as a husband. Lord, help me to be everything that book says I'm to be as a wife. Lord, help me to be everything that book says I'm to be as a child or as an employee or an employer or this or that. Help me to be that, Lord, unto thee. And you can't lose. Oh, I didn't say that things would get immediately better, okay, as far as the situation. But you'll get better inside. You'll get better. God will do things for you. And you can't lose in a situation like that. Brother, when something's not the way we want it to be, there's two ways God can adjust that thing. Either change the situation or change you. If he doesn't change the situation, then maybe we're the one that needs to change, the work of change. And you can't lose. You can't lose. But folks, look here. If you ever sit in church, and some of you have known of situations, maybe in your own life like this. Maybe you've known it in your own life. Or maybe you've known it of others. But listen, if you ever sit in church like this, that's you. Amen. Amen. You know what you may have just done? You may have just got in the way of the Lord bearing witness to what they were trying to hear and what was trying to be spoken. You may have just gotten in the way of what was being spoken and the Spirit of God bearing witness to it by trying to take it and do it in your own way. Be careful of that. Best thing, because you know what? If we're not careful in doing that, we may have missed what was said also that applied to us. And I'll be, if you both get into it, I wouldn't want to get in the middle of that stuff, man. Because the elbows will get flying, man. And it could be bad. And that may sound, I know it's a little humorous, but it is going on. I've had people admit, ding, 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 ding. I mean, it's got to be some bruised ribs. And it just shouldn't, and it doesn't have to be that way. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, help us, dear God. We're a needy people. Lord, Father in heaven, I stand amazed at your patience. I stand amazed at your long-suffering. I stand amazed, dear God, at your grace to Jonathan Doss. I do, Lord. I do. I stand amazed. I'm thankful. And I know I'm not as thankful as I ought to be, Lord. Truly wonderful, wonderful grace of Jesus. Father, help us, I pray, Lord, to assimilate these things. Lord, make application with as your Spirit will so direct. Bless your word. Love you, Lord. Help us love you more. We ask this, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.